Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 3. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the text. These are some very exciting times here at Our Redeemer. We had a baptism yesterday evening. We have another one scheduled at the late service later today. And we are having a baptism at early service next week. How fitting it is that we turn our attention during this Advent season to John the Baptizer. What a ministry he had going there on the banks of the Jordan River. Those from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan River, Matthew tells us they were going out to him to be baptized. Let me tell you, walking from Jerusalem to the Jordan River is no easy task. It's about 18 to 20 miles one way with severe elevation change. There is very little vegetation and no convenient stores, not even today, let alone 2,000 years ago. So why were the people eager to go out and hear John preach? Was he promising emotional fulfillment or a bigger bank account if you give your heart to the Lord? Was he teaching them the how-tos of holy living? Do this and God will bless you. No, his message was a call to repent. The people were coming out and confessing their sins. And those who did not see the need for repentance, the Pharisees and Sadducees, those who were confident in their own salvation, maybe because of their own works or their family heritage, or they simply refused to believe that a loving God could punish good people like them, John greeted them with absolute terms. You brood of vipers, you snakes, you sons of Satan, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And wrath is coming. And so is your Redeemer. John says, he is mightier than I. He is more important than me in every sense. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. And he is coming. John had a great message. Last week we began our Advent season with the announcement, behold, your King is coming to you. And John tells all who will listen in no uncertain terms, he is coming. And he will baptize you also. Everyone will be baptized, either with the Holy Spirit or with fire. I know that's not how our modern American Christian community interprets this text, but you know, other than on Pentecost with the tongues like fire that were on or above the heads of the disciples, fire is never associated with the good work or blessings of the Holy Spirit. Fire means tribulation and judgment. All through Scripture, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't come with fire. He comes through the Word of God and with water. He is refreshing. He causes life and growth. He brings comfort. Jesus calls him the Comforter. And he washes you clean. Certainly, fire can be used to purify. But that's not the baptism which you should really be wanting to participate in, because baptism by fire is really never a good thing. John says of the Messiah who is coming, he is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. The wheat he will gather into his barn, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Everyone will be baptized. And baptism has an eternal aspect to it. The washing with water and the word, it's not just an event to be celebrated for one day. It's not just something that says, oh, now you're a part of the church or a member of this congregation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And salvation always points towards the eternal salvation that God has promised. You shall be saved, you shall be refreshed and full of life and standing before our Lord in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness for all eternity. Standing with all of those who have come out of the great tribulation, who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And he who does not believe will be baptized with unquenchable fire. That was John's message that all of Judea was going out to hear. I believe we can learn something from observing John. And it speaks to why lifelong participation in churches has declined over the last generation or two. John speaks in absolute terms. There is no wishy-washy message being preached on the banks of the Jordan River. He was not there to teach us that, oh, we can change the world if we just, change our attitude or change certain rules that we observe or our philosophy on life. Philosophy, when you think about it, is really just a fancy word for my attempt to figure out how much I can get away with and still be okay with God, whoever God is as I choose to define him. John did not speak like that. He spoke law and gospel in absolute terms, and we need to do the same. This does not simply mean fire and brimstone sermons from the pulpit and heavy-handed parenting at home. That leaves you only in the realm of the law, and the law does not change hearts. John's message wasn't just calling people a brood of vipers, you sons of Satan, you will burn with unquenchable fire. People came to him confessing their sin, actually dealing with their sin, not just sweeping it under the rug like we like to do, actually dealing with it. And he washed them. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And they were clean. And he encouraged them to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. John dealt with sin in a way to let people know that this is important. And there is one who is coming who is infinitely more important than me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals, but he is worthy of your undivided attention because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the final sacrifice on the altar of the cross, and he is the one who will finally and forever defeat death. Where we have failed in the church today is that God is allowed to be thought of as moderately important. That's not the message that was intended, but that's the message that our children over the last generation or two have heard. That's the message they have learned. Over the past month or so here at Our Redeemer, we've had a recurring theme that either God is of no importance and we're all just wasting our time this morning, or he is of infinite importance. Those are really the only two options. And we look at being baptized. receiving Christ's body and blood, hearing the good news of salvation. As Christ is presented in Scripture, as the gospel is presented, it is presented in God's word as the only thing that matters. And those who heard John's words, there's a reason they walked 20 miles out in the wilderness to go and hear what he had to say, because it was the only thing that mattered to them, because they knew that their sin had to be dealt with. It was that important. Seeing God as infinitely important, I mean, it goes beyond worship attendance, although that is foundational. I mean, if we teach our children that worshiping is a take it or leave it kind of thing, or it's something we do as long as we don't have other stuff gets in the way of our schedule, they will learn, and unfortunately in our culture today, they have learned that God is moderately important. The problem is that if he is moderately important, then he is not the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible presents himself as being infinitely important. And he has to be the only thing that matters, because beyond this life, he is the only thing that brings us to where we want to be and need to be. To be the wheat that has been gathered into the barn and not the chaff that is burned with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist, he is the Advent prophet. He came with a baptism with water for the forgiveness of sins. He came to prepare the way of the Lord. And it is infinitely important that we are baptized with water for the forgiveness of sins. It is something that we do. It is something that the people of God are called upon to do, because this is how the Holy Spirit works. He comes through water and the Word and refreshes us and washes us clean. And as we rejoice in our own baptism, we can look to our baptism and know that he has come to us. He has washed us clean. We are prepared for the coming of the Lord. We are prepared for the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The message of John is to be our message. Everyone will be baptized when he comes. Nothing else matters. And this is good news, because he is coming. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.